Jeremiah 29. This is a portion of Scripture written concerning the Babylonian captivity. If you remember the story, they were in Babylon for 70 years. That's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace. Daniel in the lion's den. All of those stories in there come from that. Also, God used Daniel to write a lot of prophecy. Well, while they were captive, while they were prisoners there, Jeremiah, the prophet, was preaching to them and telling them what was going on there. We're not going to read all of chapter 29, but it's a very interesting chapter. And as I looked at this and studied about it and read an article about it and different things like that, it really felt like that this is something that we need to be aware of in our day and age. So in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets, to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now that's kind of setting our pace where we're at here. Our main verse is verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for what you've given us. God, we just thank you for these wonderful words. And God, help us to learn and understand them. And if they apply to our lives, let them apply to our lives today, that we might grow strong for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you skip up to verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem into Babylon. Verse 7, and seek the peace of the city wherein I have caused you to be carried away captive. Over in verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I bring you again unto the place where I have caused you to be carried away captive. So there's four references in this chapter telling us that the reason that the Hebrew children were prisoners by Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon was because God caused it to happen. God brought them out and God put them over there to Babylon. God had him come in, destroy the walls around Jerusalem, had him come in and take the best away captive, had them take them to be prisoners in another land, in another country, and be slaves, where they tried to change their names and change their beliefs and change their languages, all kinds of things. They were there for 70 years, and God told them, you're going to be here for 70 years, and I put you here. Now, the reason he put them there was because of sin in the nation of the people. They had drifted away from God. They were not following God. They were not doing God's way. They were not doing God's will. All these things. And God says, okay, guys, I'm going to take you out of the promised land. I'm going to take you out of Jerusalem. I'm going to take you away from your temple. And I'm going to put you over here in Babylon. And you're going to be prisoners. He says very plainly, I did it. But he said it was for an expected end. He had a purpose for putting them over there. He had a reason for putting them over there. And he has a plan, as God always has a plan. Now, sometimes God does that in people's lives. He stops your life. He gets your attention. Things happen. Problems occur. Whatever it is. All kinds of things go on in your life. And lots of times, those things are caused because of decisions we made. We made bad decisions. We did the wrong thing. We didn't follow God's will. We knew we shouldn't. We knew we shouldn't have done that, but we did it anyway. And then God's law of sowing and reaping comes to an effect. And God's judgment and chastisement starts coming into your life. Takes you out to the woodshed. You know? Gives you a little spanking. But He don't use switches. He works on your heart. Works on your soul. And your life. Now sometimes things happen in our life because we're serving God and the devil's just attacking us. And I'm not going to go there and tell you which is what in your life. Because I'm not God. But many times you know why something is happening in your life. You know why it's happening. You know what's going on. Because many times God has told you and God has showed you and God has revealed it to you. And you know that. And you know that's what's happening in your life. When you were disciplined as a child, if you had siblings and different things, some of them take it pretty good and go on. Some of them pout for a few hours. Some of them just pout for a whole week. Some of them get mad. All different kinds of reactions come about from discipline. Now, I want you to look at something here in verse 4. He says, I have caused you to be carried away from Jerusalem. I've done this to your life. Now look at verse 5. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Didn't say of those people. And take wives of your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they might bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. The nation is going to grow. If you remember when the wicked Pharaoh come in Egypt, the Hebrew children were still multiplying and growing. He didn't tell them to go off and marry the unbelievers. Verse 7. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. God told them, I'm taking you out of here. But God told them to not stop living. God told them to keep functioning and keep living. And live these 70 years, go through this punishment, take it like a person, take it like a man, take your punishment and live up to it and keep moving and don't stop living because I still have plans for you. I'm not sending you over there to die. I'm sending you over there to get your heart right. I'm sending you over there to grow. I'm sending you over there. Hey, increase. Have families. Have kids. Do all that stuff. Continue to grow while you're here. But remember, you're here because I sent you here as a disciplinary action. But that's no reason to stop living. Keep on keeping on. Hey, even though you're in God's woodshed, He still loves you. He still cares for you, and He still wants you to grow, and He still wants you, He's working with you. He's got an expected end in your life. Suck it up and move on. Now, pray for that city. Hey, this was a pagan city. Idolatry. The king built a big old statue. Bow down and worship me. If you don't bow down and worship that statue, when they play all the instruments, I'm going to put you in the furnace. They stood their ground for God. They didn't compromise on what they knew was right. And they kept on living, they kept on multiplying, and they had houses, they had homes, they had gardens, they lived and they functioned while they were still in the woodshed. And pray for that city. It's a pagan city, because why? For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. No matter what you think of our present president, we are commanded by the Bible to pray for him. Romans 13. No matter what you think about the government and the taxes and all that stuff, we're commanded to pray for those leaders. We are commanded to pray. When Stephen goes over to Chile, he's going to be under another government. And there's some things that he may have to do that we never would do in the States. Another brother, Bob Johnston, they had to register their churches under the ministry of cults in Haiti because they were not Catholic, so they were in ministry of cults. If you don't, then the government comes in and takes it over. Now, we would never do that here in the States. But there's things like that, hey, that you've got to kind of go with. God lets you do them. But I don't know who the president of Chile is. I guess they got one or somebody. I'm supposed to pray for him. Now listen. Bernalillo has got a reputation around some of these areas. Needs to be prayed for. There's a lot of good people here. And there's a lot of good people that need to get saved, and there's a lot of not so good people that need to get saved. But I don't think you're put here for punishment in Bernalillo. But listen, we're supposed to pray for our country, our town, our people, our neighbors, not just our people here. But many times, where we're on the disciplinary side of God, we start having a pity party. The old poochy lip disease, you know. Mom ever say if your face freezes like that, you know? Listen. Okay. You did wrong. Own up to it. But don't stop living. Don't stop living. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for every one of your lives. Even little Donnie over here, God has a plan for his life. He may not know what it is yet, but he's got a plan. Everybody. There is a plan for your life. God does not just throw things out there and say, see where they happen, roll the dice or spin the pointer or whatever, see where it lands. No. God has a plan. Now, sometimes we get off, like Israel did here. So he has to come over and grab you by the nape of the neck and say, okay, here, this is where you're supposed to be. But I'm going to put you over here till you learn to stay where I want you to be. And that's what he did with them. That's what he did with them here. Now look at verse 8 here. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, making sure you know who we're talking about here, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye caused to be dreamed. Cause to be dreamed. Well, I can't control my dreams. Sometimes, you watch some movie or something another, you know, or whatever, and that's what you dream about at night. I told you about our grandson. He kept having nightmares at night, people chasing him. He was watching some Ninja Turtle thing. Everybody's chasing everybody every time before he went to bed, and he dreamed about that all night and had nightmares in the night. Stopped watching it, and they went away. I remember one time I was going to get a 22. I couldn't sleep all night long. I'd saved my money. I was going to buy it. It's going to be mine. And I mean, I thought of everything I was going to do with that. I was going to shoot this and do that and do all this. And I was going to be a trick shooter and everything else, you know, dumb as all said. In my dreams, but they weren't God's dreams. They were my dreams. These prophets, he told them to go with them. He brought them all over there. But then these guys thought they knew what God was doing. And they started telling them the wrong things. Started giving them the wrong advice. No true man of God is going to give you any advice contrary to the Word of God. You are not an exception. Nobody is. And if somebody's telling you something, giving you some kind of advice that's contrary to God's will or the Word of God, you know it's wrong. And that means you're talking to the wrong person. Go somewhere else. Go to God first, then your pastor. Listen. Now, neither hearken to your dreams which ye have caused to be dreamed. Hey, Babylon was a rich town. Very fancy town. They had all kinds of good foods and all kinds of things over there. It says, you know, when they left, when Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilt the walls and the temple and stuff, some of them didn't leave. Some of them stayed. The Hebrew children through the wilderness was complaining about the manna. They wanted the garlic and the leeks and onions and all that stuff from Egypt. See, because verse 9 says, For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. I didn't send them. You listen to my man, Jeremiah, here. Now, excuse me. Verse 10 and 11, what we're talking about. That after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. Perform my good word towards you. I am going to keep my word. I told you I'm going to bring you home. I've told you I'm going to restore you. I am going to keep my good word. I am going to... God's promises are real. And they will take place. In causing towards you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You're not forgotten. Sometimes you feel like maybe you're forgotten, but you're not. He's still thinking about you. Thoughts of peace. God wants you to be at peace. He wants you to be happy. He wants your joy to remain. He wants you to be full of joy. He wants you thoughts of peace, not of evil. You know, remember when you got a spanking and you thought your parents were evil? You know, thought your teacher was evil or whatever, you know? Ah, those evil parents, they don't love me. I'm going to run off and go away or something, you know, whatever, you know. I'll tell you about the microwave sometime. Hello, Stephen. Remembers that or not? No evil Ethel there. No. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you an expected end. He has a plan. He has a plan. Then shall you call upon me. And you shall go and pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you. You're out of the woodshed now. Return to me, listen to me, talk to me, God's saying, I'll listen to you.
Verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me. And when ye shall search for me with all your heart.
That's when repentance has taken place. That's when repentance has taken place. When you searched for God with all your heart. You're not holding back something from Him. You're giving Him everything. You're confessing everything to Him. You're giving everything to Him. You're not holding back. You're giving it all to Him. You're searching with your whole heart. God, I'm giving you my heart. I want you to guard my heart. I want you to take my heart. I want you to abide in my heart. I want to abide in you. I want you to take over my life. That's when repentance has taken place. Verse 14, and I will be found of you. Hey, you can find me, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. Because you have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and upon the city that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren, that ye are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. So I'm going to come in. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to help you. Now, verse 20. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all you captive, whom I have sent from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Hear, listen, pay attention. Stick with it here. Don't stop living. Don't stop living. Don't start sulking. Just realize this is why you're here. God's working with you. God has an expected end. And when you realize that, and you get back in fellowship with God, don't repeat it again. We tend to forget. We tend to forget. We get back in fellowship with God. We get back where we're supposed to be. We get back in our prayer life. We get back in our Bible study. We get back in those things. And then, second verse, same tune. You pull off again. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Stay close to Him. Stay there with Him. Everybody's in some kind of a captivity in their life. How you survive that and how you work through it is going to affect God's determined end for your life. It matters who you listen to. They had some false prophets there. We can only be happy if we accept our circumstances. They was going to be there for 70 years. You're going to live. You're going to function. You're going to go on. Hey, live where you are. God will take care of you. God will provide all your needs. God knows what He's doing. Even though we don't think so. Even we may not agree. He does know what He's doing. And the best way to get away from those holds and those clamps of trouble is to hang on to God. Hang on to God. Stay close to God. Sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. Move on, take the chastisement.
You know how the other side of this is? God only chastises His own. Well, why is so-and-so down the road and they're doing this and they're doing that and they got this and all that? They're not one of God's children. Don't judge the world. Don't judge things by the world out there. You let God work in your life. You let God do things in your life. You let God take care of things in your life. Then let it happen in your life. That's the only way. It's the only way it's going to happen. There's no other way. You've got to stay close to God. You've got to stay focused on God. You've got to stay close to Him. You've got to stay close in His Word. Even when the chastisement is coming, even when the sin is coming, even when all these things are coming, you've got to stay close to God's Word. Because if you don't, you're going to be vulnerable. Go back and read Ephesians 6 about the whole armor of God. It's not a piece you choose. And it starts with prayer. I don't know where you're at in your life right now. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. But I tried to get a different message and God wouldn't let me. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it don't fit today, it might later. Or maybe it did in the past and now you understand. But God is in charge. God has a plan. And God loves you. And God's only doing what's good. He's only doing what's best for you. Because He loves you. The parent that loves themselves more than their child will not discipline them. Because they're afraid to. Listen to God. Let Him have His way in your life and stay close to Him and listen to Him. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation and see how God will work, what God will do. Dear Jesus, we just thank You for what You've done for us. We thank You for what You're doing for us. God, help us work through these times. Help us be observant and pay attention and listen. There's one here that doesn't know You as their Savior, God, that today will be their day. We ask this in the name of Jesus.